What's up, Cyclone Nation? Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. We are about, we haven't had a podcast here in like over a week at least, because last week I was down in Kansas City for the CBE Hall of Fame Classic. Of course, Thanksgiving took precedence over you guys, no offense. Later in the week, it's Monday afternoon, and I'm here at the Cyclone Fanatic World Headquarters in Ankeny with Tommy Birch. What's up, Tommy?
Oh, not much. How are you?
Great. How is life over at the Des Moines Register?
Fantastic.
Good.
Now, one thing you had mentioned the last time we did a podcast.
You haven't been around for, it's been like 2-3 weeks for you.
I know. Yeah. And I feel bad because I called Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune some names. I was joking. But last time I saw him, he looked kind of angry at me.
He wasn't feeling it?
Yeah. So I feel bad about that. I forget what I called him. Maybe a moron.
Well, you know,
I don't truly believe that.
I respect the fact that you were man enough to, you realize you made a mistake and you're willing to come on here and admit to it.
No, I don't feel like I made a mistake.
Oh,
I feel bad for saying
you're apologizing for making your thoughts public.
Yeah, I'd rather say it to Travis's face.
Okay, well, hey, you see this is, we're at the world headquarters, not the home office today. So we've got four headsets that we can actually do a little round table.
Oh, wow.
Maybe we could get Hines in here and let you two work it out.
Yeah, I agree. I do like Travis. So.
But you just said that you didn't.
I'm torn on.
That's okay. Iowa Clinic Men's Center. I'm not going to give Tommy crap about getting a physical today because he knows. He knows he needs to get a physical.
All your people on Twitter are handling that for
you. They're hounding you about it because they care about your health and livelihood.
And that Spears character, too.
Yeah,
walked up to me.
Zachlopedia?
Yeah, he came up to me at the Texas Tech game and high-fived me and said, "Have you gotten your physical?" And I'm like, "Great, how are you?"
Now, didn't you say that, like, Sam Richardson's mom did, too?
Yeah, I think Brock Daigle's dad, too.
IAMenCenter.com, and you know, Tommy, they have the 8 Metro location. So
I drove by one on my way here, too. I would have stopped, but you said be here at 2.
Oh, okay. It's always my fault. IAMenCenter.com, good friends. They renewed. So they're coming back for basketball season with the podcast. Thank you to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Let's start with Iowa State TCU. We're going to do a lot of football today. Basketball coming up later in the week. We'll touch on basketball as well. Is Iowa State actually has a bit of a marquee non-conference game that I don't think a ton of people saw coming. I knew Arkansas would be good. I did not think Arkansas would be a top 20 team when they strolled into Hilton Coliseum this week. We'll touch on that a little bit. Gary Patterson and Paul Rhodes took part in the Big 12 teleconference earlier today, Tommy. You were on there along with CycloneFanatic.com's Rob Gray. Heard you guys both hounding the coaches. I found it very intriguing that Paul Rhodes was asked, I don't know if it was you or Rob, it was a response to one of you two. You guys were both working the same angle as far as, and this was my thing. I was talking with Rob on the phone the other night, and I'm like, dude, you've got like a worst case scenario here for Iowa State in the sense that your season injury riddled. There's not a lot of confidence, clearly. You just blew another big lead. You just – everybody needs the season to end at this point. There's not a lot of good that can come right now. And so not only do you have a tough game against a top 10 opponent, but you have an opponent who is scratching and clawing for its playoff livelihood in an era where style points matter.
Exactly.
And so you have Paul Rhodes today on the Big 12 teleconference – reference something along the lines of if they can score 100, they will.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing what Coach had to say. And then I think it was you who asked Gary Patterson from TCU about style points, and he's like, no, we don't believe in that. No, we're just out to win the football game.
I almost thought maybe he was like bracing fans for if they have another game like Kansas. You know, if they don't win in convincing fashion, maybe if Iowa State somehow, some way hangs around, that way he's putting himself in a good position where he's already said, like, hey, if we win, but we don't win that big, this is maybe why. Maybe that could have been part of it, too. And I think he is genuinely a classy guy in terms of the fact that, hey, I'm not going to go out and embarrass the hell out of this other team. I think he is going to get his money's worth on that Iowa State defense, and they are going to put up a lot of points. But I think he knows there's a certain point where you made your point, and maybe once you get to 80 points, that you're really not doing anything but just parading around.
I believe this is like a 42-3 first half.
Absolutely.
Yep. 42-3, 42-7, whatever. And ends up around like 56-10.
Now, here's the
I don't think that this is like a – I know we're all kidding about 100 points. I don't think that – now, if I think if TCU wanted to, absolutely.
Sure.
They could – I think Oklahoma could have scored 100. I think Baylor could have scored 100. I don't know about Baylor because Iowa State's defense actually wasn't terrible in that game. But that gave up 600 yards, but all things considering, I thought they played pretty well. But the post-Jevon Miller injury, this defense is Brian Jensen's not out there. They could score 100 if they wanted to on Saturday.
TJ Mutcherson's probably not.
Do you have any insight there? Anything other than he violated team rules or he met failure to meet expectations? What's going on there?
No idea there. Just that Paul Rhodes said he may not be available for this game either. So now you've got Darian Cotton out there did an all right job. But, man, he's definitely not TJ Mutcherson.
Nothing against Darian Cotton, but if he hasn't played by now in this career, then he's a miss.
Yep.
I'm sorry. That's the same thing with like Furch, and there's a lot of guys on that defense where they play their butts off.
Yeah,
and I give them credit for that, and I know they're great kids and great ambassadors. But if you haven't played by the time you're a junior or senior, if you're not cracking the rotation, it's very rare. It's not all the time, but it's very rare that you are a Big 12 football player.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing that to simply reward Darian Cotton. He was making a point to punish TJ Mutcherson. We don't know what. We asked him. He wouldn't tell us. But
Cotton wasn't terrible.
But no. But
whatever.
Here's my X factor when it comes to the TCU game.
Okay.
That kind of got lost in the cause today. And I mean, I threw it into my story as almost an afterthought. Part of it is, look at you. How long have you been fighting for Trevon Boykin to be a Heisman Trophy
since like the fourth, fifth week of the season.
Now, he's still in the conversation. He's still in the running. He could be a finalist. But you want him, if you want him to be a part of that conversation still, you want him to be a finalist, this is a great opportunity to really pad those stats, build up a resume builder, and get you a couple of really nice highlight plays. You know, that Bryce Petty type leap against the Iowa State defense. There are plays like that waiting to happen. And the more you can get him out there, the more he can do.
So you're saying that Boykin making Cain Seeley look foolish would be his ticket to the Heisman ceremony?
It certainly wouldn't hurt.
And I just threw Cain Seeley out there randomly because he's the first defender that came to my head. I was not picking on the young man.
Who was that? I think it was Kamari Kanmoya.
Yeah,
that Petty.
Yeah, that was the Bryce Petty one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you not only have that aspect, but look, if you know, if TCU trying to build up points, try to get those style and sexy points.
Yep.
But if Boykin is having an average game, and there's more damage that he can do out there, and maybe you want to send him out on a high note, and maybe that moment is missing, why not keep him out there? I guess to avoid injury?
I truly believe that, again, I already made my point clear. I think it's like 56-10.
Sure.
60-10. 60-17. I don't know what the score is. I think it's something like that. But I don't think that that Gary Patterson will deliberately embarrass Iowa State.
No,
I do not see that happening. And if they're up by 50, 60 points, 40 points even in the fourth quarter – By keeping Boykin out there, you are risking your credibility as a gentleman of the game of football. I think my point is I think even the playoff committee, I would hope that the playoff committee at that point would say, okay, we've seen what you can do.
Yeah.
Scoring another 28 points on Iowa State in the fourth quarter is not going to change our opinion.
Sure.
I think you have a convincing win over Iowa State or it's a non-convincing win over Iowa State. Convincing win means this game's over in the second quarter.
Sure.
I don't care what the final score is. The game's over in the second quarter. Non-convincing is somehow Iowa State has a chance to win that thing heading into the fourth.
At the end of the day, all Texas Christian wants is a nice, solid victory over Iowa State that looks really good on paper. Anything, because let's be honest, when the committee goes back, that's probably not going to be a game that they're going to watch a lot of film of.
No, they're not.
They're going to look at that, and they're going to look at the box score. And the worst-case scenario that Texas Christian could do is build up a strong lead, and then, you know, they take their foot off the pedal a little bit, and Iowa State gets a couple of late touchdowns that don't matter. The game's well out of reach. And maybe when you go back and look at it on paper, you say, wow, that wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I agree. I think that at the end of the day, I mean, if it's just a sound win over Iowa State, I think that's the same deal as scoring 90 points against the Cyclones.
Yep.
But I don't know.
I did believe Gary Patterson, the way he talked about it.
Very sincere.
You know, he said, the quote that really caught my attention was, look, we're at this good point right now, but we're not always going to be an older team. We're not always going to be the more mature team. That could be us in a couple years. So would we want it to be done against us? No.
So Baylor and Kansas State also play on Saturday night.
With game day.
Yeah, game day is going there. Yeah. So clearly the TCU and or Baylor debate is going to go on all week. I want to take the debate to another level today when it comes to the playoff, though. We're recording this at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, so we have not seen the latest playoff rankings. I want everybody to keep that in mind as you're listening to this, if it's on Tuesday afternoon or whatnot. But I saw a lot of rhetoric on Twitter Saturday night about Ohio State, and a lot of people had Ohio State ranked above Baylor or TCU in their top four. This I do not understand.
Yeah.
This I do not understand. This is an Ohio State team who, let me read off their, I mean, who they've beaten. Well, they lost to Virginia Tech. 35-21. We're manhandled in that game.
Yeah.
I remember watching that game. A bunch of friends. I was with Bloomer and Dave Zawalinski and Walters. We're all watching that game together.
What a crew.
Yeah, it was great. It was Zawalinski's goodbye party over Brad Edwards.
I wasn't at that one.
You were at the Coonies one.
Yeah.
No, this one was at the Brad Edwards, meteorologist Brad Edwards house.
Yes.
Was not a close game.
Yeah.
And it was Barrett's first game. So I think you take that into consideration when you watch that. I'll be honest, the Ohio State's best win at Michigan State, probably
even that's not sexy.
No, I mean, Minnesota, who same Minnesota team who was just throttled by TCU,
yeah,
30-7 earlier in the year. Here's my point. If a week ago you put Ohio State in the playoff, I'm fine with it. Without JT Barrett,
yeah.
How can you put Ohio State in the playoff?
See, that's where this conversation about the playoff committee becomes very interesting. Do you reward who has played the best this season, which even in that conversation, I don't put Ohio State in there, or is it just the four best teams?
Well,
there are a lot of people that would say Ohio State deserves it. Not many. There are some people that would say Ohio State has played well enough that they deserve a spot. But without Barrett, they are not good enough, do not deserve that spot.
I do think that they should account for injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember way back in the day when Cincinnati was unbelievable and Kenyon Martin went down?
Yeah.
And they got bumped to a two seed?
You do not want to have a deflated team go in there and not even have a chance to win that.
Absolutely not. And then I'm looking today. ESPN has their conference power rankings, ESPN stats and information.
Yep.
They release them every single week. For the first time since 2000 last week, the SEC went 0-4 in its SEC-ACC rivalry
amazing.
Games. 0-4. For the first time in a long time, the Big 12 has surpassed the SEC. The SEC is no longer number one in the ESPN stats and information power rankings.
The problem there is they just all beat up on each other, too, to a certain degree.
The notes that I care about are winning percentage in non-conference games against Power 5 teams. Big 12, 4-6. Not great. Not great. Big 10, 6-11. Clearly the worst. The SEC was 5-6. The ACC was 10-7. And the Pac-12 was 8-3. How do you take these? Well, to realistically break them down, you need to go game by game because you're going to give Kansas a ton of, or you're going to give Duke a ton of credit for beating Kansas at home. No. You know. But point is, I mean, I
look at Florida State though.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Are you giving them credit or?
I'm giving them credit.
Yeah, I mean they beat Florida.
Yeah.
Who else do they play? I don't even remember. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's an average win now when you look at how it played out. But, I mean, Iowa State's the worst team in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Beat Iowa. You know, Iowa is going to a bowl. They're 7-5 going to a bowl game. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record all season long.
So, who is the worst of the
– Big 10. Big 10.
I agree. They should be.
I don't even flinch at that. It's the Big 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you can make an argument that it's not. So, my whole deal is – I mean, this ESPN deal is objective. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they've got their formula and all that, and they rank the Big 12 at number one, and yet we're going to keep one or two or
we're
both.
There's only going to be one Big 12 team that gets in.
Correct, absolutely, and there should be. I don't think the Big 12 deserves two teams. No. I truly don't.
But, so, who do you go with, Baylor or TCU? Let's just assume
that they both win.
Both of them win
convincingly.
Yes.
Okay. Then I will be honest with you. I have changed my mind on this. Is that okay?
You are an Art Briles guy.
I have changed my mind on this. First of all, I want to make it clear that I don't really have a problem with either way.
Yeah.
TCU has a stronger non-conference resume. The Minnesota win. But again, I don't give them that much credit for beating Minnesota in September. Yeah. I don't.
But
it's not that good of a win.
But how they have beaten everybody else and look at Baylor's non-conference schedule.
Correct. I mean, it's TCU's non-conference schedule is slightly better than Baylor's.
Yeah.
Because other than Minnesota, they played SMU, the worst team in college football, and Samford. Okay? So it's not like this is this gauntlet that Gary Patterson went out and played. But, like, how do you compare a three-game non-conference schedule against a four-game one?
That's why you have a championship game.
Okay. And I'm fine with that. In an ideal world, the Big 12 keeps it the same way and then still has their championship game somehow. I think that'd be outstanding. But I think the Big 12, if anybody, is doing it right. I enjoy the way that they do it because is it really a conference when, there's teams in your quote-unquote league that you don't play for 4 years? So are they really your champion is my point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like is Missouri really worthy of playing in an SEC championship game? If it's a true SEC championship game, shouldn't it just be Alabama and Ole Miss or Mississippi State or whoever play them again? Because they're clearly the best teams in that conference. Was it truly a championship game when a crappy Colorado team played Texas in the Big 12 title game or a crappy, I'm just thinking of all those crappy Big 12 North teams that went up and just got just dismantled by Texas. So my whole deal is
my thing is if you're in a situation like we're heading, why not? I don't know. Maybe I just live in my own little dream world, but have that one weekend marked off where if you get in this situation and you say that we will have a championship.
But if I'm Baylor, I go, we had the same record and I beat those guys.
Yeah.
What else do I need to do? What else do I have to do to – I beat those guys.
Not play West Des Moines Valley in your preseason.
I get it, but they did. And we're looking at this scenario. And if I'm Baylor, listen, I lost one game. I think a loss at I mean, if you're just going strictly resume by resume, a loss at Baylor is a better loss than at West Virginia. But Baylor's the team that beat them.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, again, I'm okay with whoever you put in there. 3-4 weeks ago, I think I was leaning towards TCU. But you know what? I don't think that that's right, though. I mean, Baylor beat – if it comes down to those two teams, It's common sense. You put in the team that beat the other team.
But if we're going by who is the better team, I think TCU is the better football team or the better Big 12 team that can win a national title. I don't know about Baylor.
I think you may be onto something there.
Yeah.
You may be onto something there. I mean, you really – that's a strong point. Hey, are you just – that's just going by the eye test?
Yeah.
By what you've seen. Paul Rhodes basically said that today too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're in a tough –
maybe he is bracing Iowa State fans for the butt-whooping that is about to –
this could be true, and he's been known to do that before. My whole deal, though, is I've seen Big 12 championship games before.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like a true championship game, like the way the SEC does it, with the schedule differential between those teams in the East and the West, it's like, well, give me the two teams in the SEC that should be playing for a championship, sure. not this Missouri team that limped in there because it's potentially in the worst division in all of college football.
I do like the idea of everybody playing against each other, but I would like to see a championship game even after all that. I don't like all those divisions and stuff like that. I like that everybody plays each other.
So we are in agreement that the way the Big 12 does it is great with the round robin. And then we want to see right before the playoff your number one versus your number two. Let's just see. But so how do you do that?
To a certain degree, I would say say Baylor runs the table undefeated. Next team, TCU, has lost twice. No need for a championship game.
But how do you schedule around that? You can't.
I'm not Bob Bowles.
What are you going to do? Play two non-cons and then some guys are going to get – that's just not possible.
Then,
I
would say go ahead and schedule the championship game. But then you run the risk of, Baylor in that situation where they've got losses. They're on their way to the football playoffs. They play the Big 12 title game. They lose to TCU.
Yeah.
And then they're out of the picture.
I would love to bait the Big 12 to have some sort of a championship game too. But in the current setup, I just don't know how you do it. And two, again, if it's a true championship game, fine. But, very rarely did that Big 12 title game turn into a doozy.
I would just like to see everybody try to adapt the same type of
thing.
That's the key. Because right now we're comparing apples to oranges. And it's a little unfair.
And I think that the Big 12 is better than the Big 10, but do I know that?
No. I do.
Okay. Well, you do.
That Big 10, oh my God. I mean, it's so bad. You look at Nebraska. That team won 9 games.
Yeah.
How did they win 9 games?
How did Iowa win 7? And I'm not even trolling. I think most Iowa fans would go, hey, dude, you're right.
Yeah, they won 7 games, and their fan base is extremely unhappy. There were people that thought they should have been 10-0 to start the year.
Yeah.
Horrible Big 12.
This is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
They're getting us to chat about this. So, okay,
exactly.
You asked me.
And you
I would
know
go.
What? We're going to get to a point where they add to the
they
playoffs.
Will. If and here's your difference, too, because I've seen this, too, out there. People go, well, then you're going to be debating who should be number 7 and 8, which is true, but all your conference champions will be in.
Yeah.
At that point. And then that's when you can really decipher it. Well, the Big Ten they've never won a game in the college football playoff. Well, there's a reason, because they're not as strong. Or, man, look, the Pac-12 must be underrated. They're 5-1 in playoff games. Then you can start to put some sort of a correlation together.
I hate to punish. Say you did have somebody in the Big Ten who just stood out and just say Nebraska. Say they ended up going 12-0, and then they win the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
But because the Big Ten is so bad, they don't get in.
The Wisconsin's going to beat Ohio State anyway.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
So this is a moot point. But I truly believe that. Unless my guy Tom Herman pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
He'll have to pull a couple.
Yes, he would. Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Read that power rankings, though, Tommy.
I will.
I retweeted it earlier today, too, if some of you are listening. It got a lot of action. It gives those power rankings of all the conferences. And it actually has the Big Ten above the ACC.
So the Big 12 is number one.
Yeah, SEC 2, yeah. Pac-12 3. And I actually think, too, by the eye test, I think the Big Ten's probably better than the ACC.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
say by the eye test, just for me. But whatever.
But I think we're thinking a lot of tradition, too, when it comes to the Big Ten.
Probably. There's a reason. And this is part of the Nebraska conversation, too, is they obviously fired Bo Pelini on Sunday. The reality here is the geographic issues that conference faces. You got players now who used to always just go to Ohio State no matter what. Well, they're going to go to Florida now. Or Florida, you know, it is everything is trending southward, which is why the Big 12 is realistically, geographically in better shape. It's not good for Iowa State. It's not a good sign for the Cyclones. But it puts that entire league into a major predicament.
Yeah.
Because kids don't care. The thing about Nebraska, this is what makes it such a tough job. It's a national job, and they're going to get a great coach. But the problem with that job is you've got a fan base who expects you to be competing for national titles. In reality, in modern-day college football, it's very difficult to do geographically in Lincoln, Nebraska. It used to be you could take a kid to Lincoln, hey, look at our national titles. They commit on the spot. They don't give a damn about what you did in 1995
yeah.
anymore. And that's the problem that whoever goes into that job has, is because they have national title type expectations, but the reality of the situation is you're going to have to get really lucky. You're going to have some things go your way to ever be in that situation. Can they win Big Ten titles? Sure. But we just outlined that it's not a very good football league anymore.
Yeah, their model in terms of recruiting is not working. Kind of like Notre Dame, you know?
Yeah, Notre Dame, same spot. Good point.
Their situation was it used to be their big selling point was, hey, every week you're going to be on national TV. Well, every kid now knows wherever I go, I'm going to be on TV.
Be on national television at Iowa State.
Cyclones TV.
Yeah, aim into that. All right. You never gave me your pick. So you want TCU over Baylor?
I think they were. I mean,
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
But I want to see him play again. Because it was such a good game.
I am completely fine with that. You would not hear me bitch.
But I do love the situation that we have set up right now, where we go into this final week, and TCU is really, looking to put up a big game against Iowa State. That at least makes the game a little bit more intriguing.
It gives us reason to watch.
Yeah, there's a factor and a reason to want to watch that game. And then you have Kansas State and Baylor. That's just going to be a great game too. Maybe Baylor, who knows what happens with TCU and Iowa State. Maybe Baylor somehow slips in the back door. I don't see how.
It would be tough. I actually saw – no, I was trying to avoid it, but nonetheless, well played on your behalf.
I was sure. Just catering to your Art Briles.
The fanatics. Yeah. No, I love Art Briles. I was starting to sweat a little bit when Petty went down the other night, but Art came through for me in the clutch. New basketball rankings came out today. Iowa State in the AP top 25, ranked 20th. The USA Today coaches poll, Iowa State maintained their spot at 19th.
Why are we talking basketball? They lost. Shouldn't we?
Season's just over.
It's done.
You're done with it. I've written a lot about this, and I assume most people listening have heard what I had to say, or have read what I had to say. What did you think? Just you were just watching it on TV. You weren't up close and personal in Kansas City. How did you think the team looked last Tuesday?
I think that is the absolute worst they could have possibly played this season. That they will never play that badly. And to say that against a team that was still a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They were still in that game to a certain degree. They were never – you felt like they were one run away from possibly really getting back into it and maybe taking control. They were still within an arm's length of being in that game, seriously, for as badly as they played. So I think that's a good sign. You have to realize, okay, now we have seen rock bottom. That's the absolute worst they can play, and they still were in that game.
I thought that team during warm-ups the other night, I thought they looked cocky.
Yeah. I've gotten that feeling from them, man. It's a fine line between cockiness and confidence.
But you want them to have the swagger, man. You want. I'm not. This is not criticizing them. Yeah. I thought they looked cocky, but and I am never. I'm very rarely a guy who will go, well, that loss is probably a good thing. And I don't know if losing was a good thing, but I think that tomorrow night against Lamar, I believe the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Of Lamar. You'll just see a very focused group. I think that was an eye opener for them. That they, you know, from Iowa State's the guy like the Niangs and Naslongs, and these guys have had to scratch and claw for everything they've gotten since they've gotten to Iowa State. They've never been pre-ranked. You know, they've never been ranked in the preseason. They've never had high expectations. And then this year, all summer, anywhere you go, people are talking Final Four, you know, all these expectations.
They could have sold out the summer league pretty much every night.
So my point is, I feel like, you know, if anybody needed an eye-opener, it might not be a terrible thing.
No, it's kind of like the guy who the big, handsome guy who has the smoking hot girlfriend.
You like to go to these girlfriend lines. Yeah. I like your style.
He knows I'm never going to lose her. I can do whatever. But every now and then, he's got to see some other guy come strolling along and just catch her eye. She's not going to go hook up with him.
It reminds me of an old Brooks and Dunn song.
Yeah. What song?
No, what is it? It's on the Rock My World Little Country Girl album. What is that song called? I'll email it to you. But it does. Like, what you just laid out is the exact Brooks and Dunn song.
He's got to be reminded that that every now and then, who knows? Maybe some night.
Actually, I think it's a Tim McGraw song. No, that's coming to my head.
I'm not a big country music guy.
What do you listen to? Honestly, because people here on the podcast, the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast, they want to know. They want to get to know Tommy Burch.
Everything.
Other than country?
Yeah, other than country.
What is your problem? Are you just not like an American?
No, it's just never ended up on my presets. I do like a little Bruno Mars.
Who?
Bruno Mars.
Who's this?
The guy who sang halftime at the Super Bowl last year.
I don't ever watch halftime.
You know, just the way you are.
Until George Strait gets a Super Bowl appearance, I don't think.
You know who's doing it this year? My girl, KP.
Your girl, yeah. I did see that because now she's wanting – she's paying?
I think she is paying them.
Really?
Or she is not getting paid. Something.
I've seen controversy
I like to think we are all getting paid to watch this. This is going to be epic.
I rarely watch the Super Bowl halftime show. I happened to be watching live when Janet Jackson's breast.
I did too. I was in my parents' basement with a friend of mine.
Oh, I know where this is going.
We just could not comprehend what we were watching.
A girlfriend?
No, it was a guy.
Oh.
So now it sounds even worse.
Yeah, that sounds even better now. I was at when that happened, it was my freshman year of college. Yeah. We were at that like Clyde Sports Bar over by Fryley.
Oh yes,
it's not really a bar.
You weren't 21 though.
No, it's not a bar.
Oh okay.
But they brand it to be like a sports bar atmosphere, but you're ordering like burgers and pop.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden there's Janet Jackson's breast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were just all enthralled by this. But
it's kind of like the. I was going to go someplace very inappropriate there. But, it was certainly a moment I'm never going to forget. And that's kind of what excites me for this Katy Perry performance.
You and Bloom. You know what we need to do? We need to just have like a Bloom Birch pop culture podcast here on the website.
Go to a Katy Perry concert, too.
Whatever. You can go to whatever concert you want. So Iowa State basketball.
Yeah.
Just one commentary, and I'm not jumping off a cliff or anything, but I think that they are being affected by Doc Sadler's absence.
Yep.
Defensively, they've really, since game one, other than that Georgia State game, and I think that's as poor as Georgia State can play. They're a better team than that. But they've struggled defensively. Their perimeter defense has been soft as a stick of butter. Their interior defense was abysmal down in Kansas City. That's where they're going to struggle. They could use Doc Sadler right now.
The silver lining to the inside is knowing that Jameel McKay is going to be there.
And
so you know that problem's going to be fixed. But I feel like what you said is that outside shooting, other teams that's been exposed, and I think that's going to be the Achilles heel for Iowa State all season, is they just cannot defend that.
People aren't going to like this. I need to see Jameel McKay before I can get into this whole rim protector, Calvin Cato. I think he's going to be really good.
Look, but I think he offers something you don't have right now.
Absolutely.
Which is anything better than what you got right now.
No question about that. But I just want to see him play.
Yeah.
For me, I've seen Calvin Cato. I can't go there until I see him.
The Capital City League wasn't enough
for
him.
No, because he's playing against 5'6" guys.
Jack Taylor.
From Wartburg, yeah. No, I just feel like expectations are so high for him.
They are.
I feel like he could be a really good player and still not live up to expectations. I got guys asking me if he's going to double-digit rebounds this year. No, it's not going to. If he averages 8 rebounds, that'll be spectacular.
See, I'm totally on the opposite end. I think he's a total team changer. I think this is going to be a completely different team he arrives, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. Oh, my goodness.
You have pre-McKay, you have post-McKay
in
this season.
Yeah.
Two very different basketball teams. No question about that. I don't know if he is – I just need to see it. I'm not saying he's not.
Sure.
I feel like the expectations for this guy are through the roof. Maybe rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a prove it to me before we crown him. But
sure.
We'll see. He was highly recruited for a reason. I mean, he could have gone anywhere. He's been a very very good teammate from what I understand. He's not shy on Twitter. If you saw him retweeting all those people that told him they would have won with him the other night, he's a very confident young man.
Yep.
I want to see him play.
And you look at him during games, you can see he's really pumped up. He's staying involved with what they're doing.
From my seats.
I can see.
That's only the legitimates get to see stuff like that.
I get a good look at those guys and the Iowa State Daily photogs.
That's intriguing. We have a good view of the fans in front of. No, I can't. We have good seats. I like my seats. It's hard for me to see the bench.
I think the thing that fascinates people about him so much, and part of the reason why the expectations are so high, is because, like you said, since Fred Hoiberg's been at Iowa State, he hasn't had that guy around the rim, that type of player.
No, you're exactly right.
So I think people know what he can do, and the fact that it's been so long since they've seen it, that they just have high expectations. I think it's rightfully so.
What did you, before we wrap this thing up, what did you do for Thanksgiving, man? Just hang out?
I ate.
As did I?
I think I ate more the day after. And then the day before, my brother and his wife and nephew came to town. I went out and about on the town with my brother, some of his friends, some of my friends. I think we hit up about 5 bars one night.
Wow. Look at you.
We got our money's worth.
You animal. You a winter beer connoisseur?
No, I'm just rum and coke. I do like some summer shandy, but that does not pertain to winter.
Actually, I had the Leinenkugels.
I've heard that's good.
The cranberry shandy?
Yeah.
The same people make summer shandy.
Yeah.
I bought a 6-pack of that. A little sweet for me, but if you like summer shandy, I think it would be your right in your wheelhouse.
I'll try it, but rum and coke, that's...
I had a bad night with rum and coke. It was before I graduated college. I was at a Nice Peter concert at Thumbs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Never again. Thumbs, true story. I watched a Bulls Heat playoffs game.
Yeah. Bloom had to have been there.
Bloom was there.
Yeah.
I was with my buddy Tony, who now lives in Chicago. He's a huge Bulls fan. And we each had our own pitcher of beer at Welch Avenue Station.
I've had my own pitcher of rum and coke served to me.
Wow.
One time.
Impressive. We had at least one or two pitchers apiece. I don't really remember for obvious reasons. And then went to Thumbs for this Nice Peter. Have you ever heard of Nice Peter?
I've never heard of
him. Oh, my gosh. He was... There are not many, but there are fanatics listening to this right now who, wow, blast from the past. He was a comedian, but he played acoustic guitar, and he just made fun of everyone and everything.
It's like Adam Sandler.
He was brilliant. And then he became worldwide famous on YouTube for these celebrity rap battles he would do.
You got to check this out.
Check this guy out. He's very funny. I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably in jail. But he had this concert at Thumbs. And we went, and they were doing $2.50 doubles of rum and coke.
Oh, Sounds and good.
I don't know what kind of rum it was, but I don't think I want to know.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, to this day I get queasy thinking about it.
You haven't gone back?
No.
Wow.
No, I have not gone back.
We'll get you back.
Nope, it will never happen. I'm a whiskey man.
So am I or do we have another football podcast, or is this like where I say goodbye to all the fanatics for the season?
I don't know. We don't really the
we'll
Des Moines Register.
It out. Well,
yeah, I mean, you're always welcome back. Like, I think we do a bowl game one.
Sure.
I think we figure it out. We work it out.
Wait, so we are doing a bowl game one this
year. Yeah. Why not?
For Iowa State.
I think we need to get a round table.
You know, I have to share this story.
Okay.
It was the other night we were talking to Sam Richardson,
okay.
Non-quarterback.
The defensive back, Sam Richardson?
Defensive back, Sam okay. Richardson. I asked him, you know, don't got a bowl game to play for. What do you, you know, what's next on your list? What are you playing for? He looks me straight in the eye and goes, bowl game.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Swear to God.
Did he understand your question, or did you pose it?
I think it was pretty clear cut. And
so did he correct himself?
No. And I was in a state of shock that I couldn't follow up. And
you didn't print it, did you?
No, and I was kind of scared. You know, I didn't want to be like, well, you're this, and this was a couple weeks ago. Like, I think the first week where they weren't eligible anymore, and I didn't want to correct him in case he didn't know.
I appreciate you not printing it.
Yeah,
there's some guys who would tweet that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Did you tweet it?
You
did, didn't you? You made him look bad.
I can't remember
if I think
I did,
because that's why I said that, because I knew you did it. No, not printing that, though, is the right way to go.
But who knows? He may have meant, like, next year.
I doubt it.
We're getting, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know for not being there. But I saw you tweet it, yes, OB. No, it's so hard. These jobs are hard when the team is as bad as they are.
Well, and I feel bad for all
I do too. They're working hard.
They're trying.
It's not like they're trying to get killed.
Yeah.
And they're not.
You know, you can see where it is mentally and physically exhausting on these guys.
It's draining.
You're really seeing it from guys like Corey Morrissey and Tom Farniak.
Who have to talk to us every week.
Who are just, you know, you look at Farniak, and man, over the last couple weeks, you're seeing it more and more where he's just a deflated guy. He's been there when it's, you know, Iowa State's been at its best, on top of the world, beating Oklahoma State. And now he's here. And, you know, I think he's just as confused and just as lost and just as hurt by all of it as any fan you run into.
You know, so Iowa State's a 30-point dog.
Yeah.
You know, they're like a 29-point dog against Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I almost wonder, does the line go up?
No, it will. And I didn't – I was more pointing out that anything can happen, but this is a very different
– that totally.
That defense, yeah. I mean, could create some turn. This Iowa State defense is not – right now, and it's and it is
– I don't think people understand how big of a loss it would be not having Mutcherson out there.
Well, not even that, but just take in 2012, take Knott and Klein out and put their back
up.
I'm just saying, and listen, this is not an excuse for why the team stinks right now. It's a reason. And they weren't going to be very good with Brandon Jensen and with Jevon Miller. And, you know, they weren't going to be very good with those guys. You start taking those guys out, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Iowa State's a team that can afford to have a little hole in the boat, but two or three and it really starts sinking.
And they've lost guys in the wrong spots.
Yeah.
You know, and it all started, the whole thing started with Irvin and Co.
Yep.
I mean,
we should have known this was coming when Ben Loth went down on the first day of practice.
Yep.
I kind of wondered. I was like, this could be it.
Tommy, thanks, man.
It was fun.
You you're going to Dallas. You're going to solve the Kennedy case.
I am. I've got some leads.
Do you have any like tours or anything like that? Or are you just going to do it on your own?
I am just going with my eyes, my heart, and some excitement.
Do you we've discussed this before. You're a theorist.
Yeah, this is number one. I swear to God, number one on my bucket list. Like, I fly into – there are times where I've flown into Dallas. I have, like, an hour and a half layover where I've contemplated taking a cab and going there. That's – swear to God, every time I fly over Dallas, too, I'm the moron that's looking down at the ground hoping to see just even a glimpse of the book depository. I can't even tell you the level of excitement come Friday. I'm going to tweet the whole thing.
I'm a JFK guy, too. Did you – Did you ever watch the Kevin Costner JFK movie?
I did, yeah.
Is it okay? I DVR'd it the other night.
It's okay. It's a little inaccurate, but, you know.
I know JFK.
It just gets the conspiracy theory really going.
Oh, so they're playing off of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, by the end of it, you'll think there are 10 different people or groups that could have killed Kennedy.
I don't believe that.
You think it was just Oswald?
I think it was Oswald.
I do, too, but I wonder who... if somebody put Oswald up to it.
Well, we're going to discuss this, but not on the Psycho and Fanatic podcast.
I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
All right.
I'll buy the book.
Report back next week.
Yeah.
All right. He's Tommy Birch. Let's do a podcast next week.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling there's going to be something to talk about.
Sure.
If coaching staff changes for the record right now too, I think if it's up to Paul Rhodes, I think his coaching staff is the same next year.
I think it should be.
And there's usually attrition, but we have a lot to talk about next week to wrap up the season. So we will do a podcast next week. He is Tommy Birch. We're going to do a scuttlebutt on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can check that out at DesMoinesRegister.com. All of Tommy's work as well is ours here at Psycho and Fanatic. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. Stay warm out there. So long.